Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Eurofolk Radio, and we are back in business. Back in business after many glitches yesterday, which I think were probably due to the bad weather on the East Coast. On yesterday's one-to-one, Jim Rizzoli had a power failure in the middle of the show, and so he had to be called by his partner, Diane King. She called him on the telephone and patched us in through her home speakers, and so we continued the show, but we had all kinds of glitches, and Professor Truth had a huge storm, 80-mile-an-hour winds, knocked over telephone poles, and so that canceled our Friday recording, and it was bad weather all around for people on the East Coast. So it's bright and sunny here in Chicago. How about in your neck of the woods, Pastor Steve?
Well, I think the main problem with you getting connected and everything was solved when you were beating your head on the desk.
Right. I heard tearing my hair out.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yep.
But
yep.
It's got clear sky here today, but it's been pretty cold again. It got real warm like spring for about a week.
Yeah. And then it went cold again. Yeah.
What it does, and then it gets the trees to bud out, and then it freezes them.
Right. Yeah.
But right. It's not only a bad week for us, but it's a bad week for the opposition.
Oh, man,
they
yeah.
They are absolutely in full panic mode. So Eli's got the shot that we've got from YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
Over nothing. You know, it was over the school shooting, and they just commented and gave a lot of the news.
Yeah, we just reported factually about the Parkland school shooting.
You know, and they have photographs of all of this stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff
I mean, the kids did not turn off their cell phones.
Yes, right, they did
they
not.
They didn't turn them off. They were filming with cameras, and all this stuff is coming out. And
yeah.
They're in absolute panic. And if any of those kids were actually killed, and we don't know for sure that they were, we don't know. They're reporting that there were 17 killed.
Yeah, that's the report.
But then they had reports in France where the bus ran down a whole bunch of people, or a truck rather. And then after it was all over and they photographed all the dead bodies around, somebody photographed all the dead bodies getting up and wiping the fake blood off.
Right. Well, I think we reported that it was a hybrid event. In which, because whenever
half
you,
half,
yeah. half to, there were some people killed, but there were also crisis actors. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this or this show will be stricken. Right.
I don't understand how anybody with any morals whatsoever could go along with something like that.
Yeah.
These crisis actors must have no soul whatsoever.
Yeah, they must be a lot of Jews and liberals, you know. Yeah, and what I've noticed about liberals is they're very much like Jews, and they're very arrogant. They're arrogant to the point where they look down on you and won't listen to you, and I think they're more intelligent than you are. And that attitude gives them the right to lie, steal, you know, commit violent acts against conservatives, etc.
Yeah.
That's really their mentality. It really is.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's okay to kill Christians.
That's right. Yeah, because we're like subhuman.
What does it say in Scripture? They will kill you all the day long.
That's right.
They do God a service.
That's right. That's right. That's in the Scripture.
Oh, there's the Scripture. Oh, don't quote Scripture.
Yes. So anyway, I want to read the notice that YouTube gave us.
Oh, by all means.
Yeah, and it says,
it's a hoot.
Attention!
It's a hoot.
Attention in all caps. As you may know, our community guidelines describe which content we allow and what we don't allow on YouTube. No, they don't. They're very vague. You know, we don't demean people. We don't call people names. So, you know, we have fun with that, right? But so does everybody else. So, you know, and we don't preach hatred against the other races. We don't preach violence against the other races. So, I mean, we don't violate those guidelines at all. They make them deliberately vague so that they can just claim that we violated that. Of course, they don't say which guideline we violated. All right.
It comes under the heading of subject to change without notice.
Yeah, right. Right. At our discretion. Right. It's all discretionary. It continues. Your video entitled YCP Parkland School Shooting, Fake or Not Fake, was flagged for review. Upon review, we've determined that it violates our guidelines. Okay. Which one? Doesn't say. We've removed
telling the truth.
We've removed it from YouTube and assigned a community guideline strike or temporary penalty to your account. Now this is the third one. We get one every 6 months. You know, we finally wait the 6 months to be cleared, and then a week or two later they give us another strike. Okay, because they obviously don't like what our content, and you know usually. Our strikes were given because we had the word Jew in the title. Okay, that is verboten on YouTube. You shall not talk about Jews. So they have a computer program. It scans for the word Jew in any YouTube title. And then they will look at that content. If it's not Jew-friendly, then they will give us a strike. Right?
Yeah.
But this title does not contain the word Jew. So I was shocked that they gave us a strike for this particular posting. Anyway, video content restrictions. YouTubers share their opinions on a wide range of different topics. However, there's a fine line between passionate debate and personal attacks. We didn't personal attack anybody. We just reported that there's a cover up. Okay, and we reported that. The mainstream media was not showing what we had freely online. All right? We were just repeating.
Well, there it is. That's a personal attack on the mainstream media.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Oh, I don't think we even used the word Jew in that whole show, but I may be mistaken. Uh-huh. As our community guidelines outline, YouTube is not a platform for things like predatory behavior. What? We didn't commit predatory behavior. We just told the truth about what happened in Parkland. Stalking, threats, harassment, bullying, or we didn't do any of that. We were just reporting stuff that the mainstream media refused to report. That's all we did. We take this issue seriously, and there are no excuses for such behavior. We remove comments, videos, or posts where the main aim is to maliciously harass or attack another. We never did that.
Nope.
We didn't attack any other users.
Nope.
Absolutely not. If you're not sure whether or not your content crosses the line, we ask that you not post it. Oh, okay. We have to censor ourselves. And, well, that's what they're asking us to do. They're telling us we don't like any YouTube posts that expose fake media. That's what they're telling us. All right.
Right.
So anyway, last paragraph, the impact of strikes. This is the first strike applied to your account. No, actually, it's actually the third. But because we have to wait to 6 months for the last strike to be lifted. And I think if you get three strikes in the same 3 months and if in the same time period, then they will suspend your YouTube account entirely. Okay. So that's how YouTube operates. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They simply don't.
No.
Okay.
Of course not.
And of course they don't give any strikes to liberal left. And I know YouTube has posted violent content from Antifa, from Black Lives Matter, hateful content from the left, and nothing happens to them. So there's an obvious bias here, Pastor Steve, a really obvious bias.
Surely not. Say it.
Okay, we have to be facetious sometimes, folks. Okay, so let's get back to the 95 Theses Against the Antichrist. And I have to be careful not to put the word Jew in the title of this YouTube when I make the YouTube. And so we don't get another strike within the 3 month period. Otherwise, they will suspend our account. So we're gonna have to censor ourselves for a while until we find a better alternative to YouTube, folks.
And
use smart words, right?
Like we do with Professor Truth.
Yeah.
We just have to be smarter than the enemy, folks.
You know
who we're talking about.
Yeah. Right. The content won't change, but you know, we just have to use different words because they have programs to look for words.
We will phrase it differently.
Yes. Yeah. Now it doesn't. We can talk about Jews within the hour, you know, within the recording, but we have to be careful not to put it in the title because they don't have the time to listen to every show. You know?
Oh no.
Yeah. They don't have that time, but they're looking for content in the title, so we have to amend the titles so it won't raise a red flag. And I do mean red flag because these are commies, you know, Jew commies that do this to us. And, you know, we just have to adapt to that until a better alternative to YouTube comes along. Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's get to it. I think we left off with number 47.
We're in number 38. This was posted the 13th of March 2002.
Okay.
And it says number 48,
Okay, go ahead.
Thesis number 48, Jews aren't white, and therefore they hate the white race.
Yes.
This is by Eric Thompson.
Okay, take it.
From time to time, a correspondent or writer will blithely state his unresearched opinion that Jews are white. Let's stop right here. That's what they tried to do with this school shooter, supposedly.
Right.
Down in Florida, he's supposed to be a white supremacist. But he is biologically a Jew.
That's right. He stated so himself.
Right.
My mother is
this
Jewish.
This is not only a fallacy, but it is an impossibility. And here's why. The Jews are the only people who are not qualified for protection under their own genocide treaty. One, they are not a race. That is correct. They are mixed with everything. They're a tribe by bloodline, but they're not a distinct race because they're in all the races they have mixed, okay?
Yes, they have.
This is proven from Jewish sources in regard to Falashism or Black Jews, B'nai Israel, or Indian Jews, Chinese Jews who look Chinese to a foreigner, but who are not real Chinese, the Sephardim, or Shemitic Jews.
Okay, they're not.
They're not
true Semites.
Shemitic.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah.
They
just claim to be. They claim to be, yeah.
Right. And the Ashkenazim, or Russian Jews, those are Khazars.
Right.
They were Khazars that adopted Judaism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bulk of Jewry.
That's right. None of whom are Israelites, absolutely none of whom.
They had Edomite bloodline that had mixed up there, and they were throwing little babies into wolf pits and letting the wolves tear them apart.
Yeah.
Well, the Tsar said that you will stop and you will adopt some sort of religion,
civilization,
or
yes.
I will send in the Cossacks and they will kill all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cossacks were bad news.
Yeah. Bad
okay,
dudes.
The Russian
yeah.
Jews, who are most likely to have white genes, they have some, yeah. These people converted to Judaism in 700 A.D., right. Babylonian Talmudism is what they converted to. Many of them resemble white people, but all of them, according to the genetics of the Jews, have Afro-Asian genes, including the blondest of them, like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, okay.
Martin,
I'm mortified.
Sheen.
Brad Pitt's a Jew?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Blonde, blue-eyed people with Afro-Asian genes are not white, but mongrels. That's what they are.
Mr. Thompson is really pressing this issue, is he not? Very well.
Well
said.
He's telling
the truth.
He's got his ducks in a row here for sure.
Amen. Amen.
Pardon me. Two, Jews are not a religious group, for they include atheists, Buddhists, all this other stuff. Elijah Toyota, the owner of Toyota Motors, is a Jew, Japanese Jew.
Okay. Is he a Buddhist?
No, he's whatever he is. They don't say what his religious following is, but
okay.
He's Jewish by bloodline.
There you go.
Two-thirds of the Jewish population of Israel are not religious, but claim to be Jewish through their mothers, which is how Orthodox rabbis define Jewishness.
Remember, they don't say Israelite. They say Jewish.
Right. Mm-hmm. Jewishness.
Yes.
Right. A white person who converts to Judaism will not be deemed a Jew by Orthodox rabbis. And it says, I have to disagree with the author slightly here. All Jews are religious, but their religion is a deception. So an atheistic Jew is really a Satanist who simply does not believe in God.
Okay.
Well, let's sacrifice a few babies and drink
their
blood.
Right, yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. White people aborting babies. That's their ritual. Right. Sacrifice to Moloch.
Yeah. Three, Jews are not an ethnic group because they reside in all parts of the world and resemble their host peoples in looks, language, and often in religion. They hide.
Well, this goes for the Sassoons, who were Iranian Jews who moved to China and started the opium trade, okay? And after so many generations, they all look Chinese, but they're still Jews,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They still have that Afro-Asian, that's where the Asiatic part comes from. They still have that Afro-Asiatic Edomite blood.
Yep.
Which is the common factor, is the Edomite blood.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on in section three, yet they consider themselves Jews. What can be their common bond? Not religion, not race, not ethnicity.
Yeah, right. Okay, Donald.
I thought I saw a putty dad. I did. Right. I did see a putty dad. But
oh, I'm sorry. That's Daffy. Daffy Duck, not Donald Duck. Sorry. Please continue.
It's their rackets which bind them together as as the Patels are bound together by their caste-determined role as merchants. They own all the motels everywhere.
Right, the Patel Motel.
The Patel Motel, yes. Don't tell Patel Motel. Such disparate groups maintain cohesion with their common interest and behave like a nation among nations, a nation within a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they are not a nation, which is comprised of people with a common genetic origin.
Yeah, or having a nation with borders. They've never had that.
Right. And there's so many different sects within Jewry.
Yeah.
And they all argue among themselves.
Yes, they're almost as
except
bad as Judeo-Christians.
Until it comes to white people. We'll all destroy the goy.
Yep.
Destroy the goy. Yeah, right. It is extremely dangerous to admit Jews into white nationalist groups. What did we just see? for I have had firsthand experience of their sudden betrayal of white interest in Rhodesia and South Africa. One day they were white. Next day they were sneering at us as you white people. Jews officially declared themselves non-white in 1972, as quoted in the Rand Daily Mail of May 15th, 1972.
Okay, I have a comment right here. This pretense, well, we know, those of us in identity, we know that the Jews are chameleons. And whatever land they settle in, they begin to adopt the customs, speech, dress, etc. of the host nation. But they never assimilate. They never assimilate. And once they become similar to us, then they pretend to be us. And that's when they start fooling the host people. And the host people therefore accept them as if they were part of us. And this leads to our demise because they never assimilate. And most white people simply, and most Christians simply do not understand this. That the Jews are a chameleon, parasitic people, not a race, and that this is their modus operandi. And once they have been officially accepted by their neighbors, then they work their way up to the government. I think, we have one-third of our senators today are Jews because they've been pretending to be white. Back to you.
Yeah, they pretend, and then they do things, and it gets blamed on the whites.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what they do. They're willing to bite the bullet and get thrown under the bus as long as it's destructive toward us,
right.
True Israel. Some goyim go to FedZog USA's definition of Jews as white. But if we to accept Zog, that's Zionist Occupational Government, definitions of white, which includes Hispanic mestizos and other Eurasian mongrels, Arabs et al., we would cease being white nationalists in fact and in effect. Foolish whites may overlook racial differences out of love for the Zog, but mestizos, Arabs, and other mongrels do not see whites as their people, although they enjoy white women as trophy sex partners, like any black or Asian pimp. I noticed that a non-white stud with a beautiful white female will enter premises with his eye on the ostensible white males to amuse himself at their reactions, as if to say, "See what I took from you honky mothers." When an ostensible white enters with a black female, all eyes look at him with the unspoken question, "Are you blind or nuts?"
Right.
I have seen this pattern almost daily in my work for a full decade, and there are many such places in this town where the same things occur. Let's flash forward to Prince What's-His-Face and little Hiyella What's-Her-Face that he's squiring around, going to marry.
Right.
Well.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Use. Oh, talk about rape culture.
Yeah.
But the feminists don't want to talk about that side of it, right? They don't want to talk about that kind of rape culture. Because they believe in race mixing.
Well,
race mixing apparently is not rape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Back to this. The Jews' job is to infiltrate all Gentile groups in order to spy on and to influence them for the benefit of himself and his fellow Jews. We've had that happen with EFR. A genuinely righteous Jew belongs not with us, but with his own people.
That's right.
Who sorely need him.
No, they'll kill him. They'll kill him.
Exclude the Jew, white man, or your castles will be built on quicksand and they will collapse like Rhodesia and South Africa. You are now informed and you have thereby been warned.
Thank you, Eric Thompson.
This was written, what, 1972, I think?
Yes.
Look at South Africa today where they're openly saying we're going to kill all the white farmers.
That's right.
And the white farmers are saying, well, come on.
Yeah, and well, that's where it's going. You know, they, if they don't have the means to move, they're just going to have to defend themselves with guns and risk imprisonment. You know, so they're at the point
they won't get imprisonment. They'll just be shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's live or die. It's live or
die.
That's
right. It's gotten to that point. Yes.
Get that way. Well,
it's life or death.
What about the no-go zones here in this country and in Britain and in France and in Sweden?
Yeah. Yeah. Muslims.
All over.
They're not assimilating either.
They're
so all of this multiculturalism was based on the promise that the races would intermingle and get along better than ever. And guess what, folks? That was a lie.
We'd all be coffee colored. That's what Ringo Starr said. On the Beatles. Everybody will eventually be coffee colored. Okay.
Isn't that what Eleanor Roosevelt said too? And they're both Jews.
Yep. People don't realize Richard Starkey is a Jew.
Yeah.
He's a Jew.
Yeah. Okay. Genetics
some
of the Jews.
Some of the Rolling Stones were Jewish.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Okay.
The genetics of the Jews. This is by A.E. Morant. And all on Oxford University Press, 1978. This goes back ways. Reports the findings of Jew hematologists whose work was originally published in The Lancet, the official journal of the British Medical Association. They report that even the blondest Jew has Negro marker genes.
Surely not.
Which are due to concubinage, prostitution, and slavery.
Yeah, okay. Most people have no idea that the Jews ran the slave trade. They owned almost all of the ships that crossed the Atlantic from Africa to Brazil and to America. But that movie made by the Jew Silverstein or whatever his name is, it depicted the Christian boat captain. No, those were Jewish boat captains, and the ships were owned by Jews. And
out of Portugal, that was one of the main places.
Right, right. Portugal, Spain, and Britain, because the British were heavily involved in slavery too. Okay, so. You know, but the fact that Jews were the paramount people involved and the auction stations in America were shut down on Saturdays, not on Sundays, but on Saturdays, gives you an indication of what religion they were practicing. Back to you.
Well, I mean, and they had these, they were complaining about Shark Alley. Where even today, there's a line where they used to transport them, and there's more sharks on that old ocean route than any place else, because when they would die, they'd just throw them overboard, and the sharks would eat.
Well-fed sharks,
Or if they were sick and they were going to die, they'd throw them overboard and let the sharks have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was done by Jews.
In their DNA, the sharks have a racial memory. People deny they, well, I know it's ha ha ha, but it's a fact that they hang out in that line of transport from the old slave ships. Even today, it's marked by all these sharks.
Are you saying they developed a taste for Negro?
they like the dark meat.
There you go.
And they would had so many of them, and they didn't care whether if they started out with 500 on a ship, and got to this country with 200. That was still profitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they didn't care. They just had just a loss, a business loss, where they threw 200 of them overboard.
Right.
And right. And this is your Jews.
That's right.
Who did this.
Yeah, and then they brewed whiskey and rum here and shipped it back over to Africa or to Europe or to Brazil. Because that was the other business the Jews controlled
that's
in America.
Correct. The sugar cane.
Right.
They made rum, which is out of the dark sugar.
And sold it to the Indians, fire water.
The seedier side of commerce.
Yeah.
is where you find.
The Jews.
These people.
That's where you find them. Yes.
And let's get into this here. Otherwise, we can talk on this all day.
Sure.
Blacks were introduced in the Black Sea region along the Silk Route as trade goods. I have met dozens of poison dwarfs from Odessa. Jews who have mottled dark complexions, Negroid noses, Mongoloid eyes, and kinky Afro hair. Everyone as mean as he is ugly.
Now, that's too straightforward.
These specimens comprise the darker side of the Ashkenazim or Russian Jews. White, they are not.
Now, can you believe this was published by the Oxford Unity University Press?
Well,
can you believe this?
This goes back.
Yeah, 1978.
They didn't have the censorship then.
That's right. Please continue.
All right. Jewish deception knows no bounds. It is incredible that in this modern civilized world, such a society exists in which every member is required to wear two faces.
Right.
One for public posturing and the other for revealing behind closed doors, where among their fellow conspirators who practice the culture of deceit, they can let their guard down and celebrate their successes and bemoan their failures as actors in the world of the Goyim. When they receive their marching orders from their local or international kahillah, then they collectively stage their next assault upon an unsuspecting Christian world. Many Jews who have, I hear you typing, many Jews who have left their religion and culture have described this obviously false dogma as excess baggage. It is very taxing on one's nervous system to be constantly living a lie.
Oh, man, I've seen it. It's not all Jews are capable of being two-faced 100% of the time, okay? No. It's just hard to do. But many Jews have mastered it, and they live it 100%, even in their sleep. They're two-faced. Back to you.
It is no wonder that there are so many neurotic Jews. Judaism is an ancient barbarism masquerading as a modern enlightenment. Judaism is genocidal madness, rationalizing their tribal atrocities with self-excusing, simplistic platitudes. Judaism is death trying to pose as life. Judaism is amorality posing as rational ethicalism. Oh boy!
Yeah, well,
that ends section 48.
So how could they be evil? They're God's chosen people.
Yeah. Oh, they're right? They're God's chosen people.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. Number 49, the Jews have stolen the name of Israel in order to steal the land of Palestine. Okay. If the Jews are Israel, why do they not fulfill the prophecy that states Israel would become a great nation and a company of nations? Genesis 17, 4, 5, 15, 16, and a whole multitude there. I just put the link to the article in the chat room.
And so, nations is Goyim.
Right.
Goy and a company of Goyim.
Right. And a
but
nation.
They call us Goyim.
Yeah. And a nation has always been defined as a particular racial group confined to a particular area. And in the Old Testament, it says that the world would be defined by Israel drawing borders. I forget which verse. I'm paraphrasing. But that the world would be divided by how the Israelites divide up the borders of the world, okay?
Mm-hmm. Thus create, that is correct.
So, right? And so we're the ones who have done that, not the Jews. The Jews have entered our nations as we have always defined them. So they can't be Israel because they never did any such thing, okay? All right. Throughout history, the Jews have established only two nations. And actually, should have put quotations around the word nation there. Both of them in Palestine, and both times by fraud and theft. By pretending to be Judahites, they conspired with Rome to overthrow the last rightful ruler of Judah, John Hyrcanus, and replaced him with an Edomite impostor by the name of Herod. In 1948, by pretending to be the descendants of Israel, they have stolen Palestine once again. So in both cases, they impersonated Israel, or specifically impersonated Judah, in order to steal Palestine from the rightful inhabitants. And, Pastor Steve, I would say that that land still belongs to us, the true Israelites. The British, it was the British who liberated, and they're of the tribe of Judah and Ephraim, and Manasseh. It was the British who liberated Palestine, not the Jews. And through a process of murdering British emissaries, the British mandate was simply too bothersome for the British to maintain, and they simply handed it over to the Jews. Back to you.
Well, it became economically unfeasible. And by then, the Jews had wormed their way into London.
Right.
And had started influencing the politics of Great Britain. I mean, they are a virus, and they're insidious. And they worm their way in and change the DNA of a nation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
And a virus is very hard to kill. And if you have any trace of a virus left in your system, it will come back even if you purge most of it. And they are very slow and incremental and very patient.
Yes, generationally patient.
Except today, where they're not patient. Today, they're starting to panic because of our inroads telling the truth. We are exposing them, and the world is gradually
waking up
and saying, aha.
Yeah, now what do we do about it?
They're so dissatisfied and
right?
So angry at their own situation, they look around and say, why, our politicians, they're not
are corrupt.
They're not our people. They're Jews.
That's right.
Maybe these guys in this Christian identity thing have come on to something. Maybe they've got a little insight. Maybe. Just maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe we ought to take a closer look. And when they do,
the light turns on.
Comes on.
That's
yes.
Right. I'm reading your mind. Very good.
We're watching today with the open violence. It's not even remotely concealed. It's open violence against our people. The latest is the Jew agitated violence that's coming in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a mess.
Yes, yes. And and there are a lot of Yahweh believers down there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they pray to Yahweh, he will protect them. You know, Psalm 91. And I'm going to mention that to Pastor Martins this afternoon because they're anticipating a racial war in South Africa. And it's because of all of the false promises made by Mandela and the ANC, which is the African National Communists, who took over that country, I guess it was 1994. And have betrayed every promise that they made to the white people. It was the same promise they made to American whites, that integration will bring a paradise of racial tolerance,
yes,
and everybody will be responsible citizens, blah, blah, blah.
Is the way to go. Mm-hmm. Multiculturalism is the way to go. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
So in
it's
8 years.
In other words, multiculturalism means there is no culture.
Right. There is no culture.
It's a culture eliminator. If you have your culture is endemic to a specific racial group. And when you try to blend, you lose the culture.
That's right.
We have our own cultures.
Well, it's obvious.
Now, we have the Irish, and we have the Polish, and we have the Germans, mm-hmm. and we have the British. And now Americans have their own particular culture, depending on the area of the country.
Right.
But all of us have one thing in common, and that is race.
That's
right. So we can get along. But when you try to bring the culture of another race in with us, it grates. It goes against what we are.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's not going to work. It absolutely won't work. It'll fail. It's doomed from
Amen.
The very start.
Yes. Yes. So, like, for example, the Irish prefer whiskey. The Germans prefer beer. The French prefer wine.
The Irish like their beer, too.
They do?
No, don't. Come on.
That must be the German blood in them. So, but the differences are trivial among the white tribes, okay? Where we have representative numbers of mathematical geniuses and carpenters and electricians, et cetera, et cetera. We display skills that the other races just never displayed until they copied them from us. Okay? That's the simple fact.
Well.
All right?
If they manage to kick all the whites out of South Africa, it will revert back to complete savagery. Not that it's not savage right now, because mm-hmm. they can't run anything.
That's right.
Even Mandela said, if we get rid of the white man, we will starve.
Right. And that's what's
so
happening.
That's what they're engineering right now. They didn't listen mm-hmm. to old Mandy.
Right. Right. So, and then the president of Zimbabwe has said that we blacks can't farm, so we want your white farmers back.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, right. But that's racist, Pastor Steve.
That's
say
racist,
the blacks can't farm.
That's okay, racist.
Yeah,
the
because
said.
The black man said it, right.
Right.
If we say it,
right.
It's racist.
Oh, no. We get a YouTube strike.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You want me to take 50?
Yeah, just do the first two paragraphs.
All right.
Because the rest is my commentary.
Herod was an Idumean, not a Judahite. It's Yah-Udah, those who praise Yah.
Amen.
Two words put together, Yah-Udah, or Yah-Udim, plural, those that are praisers of Yah. And who praises Yah? Well,
we
Christian
do.
Identity.
Mm-hmm.
We do. So, I'm of Judah on both sides. I have German and Scottish blood, both of which are Judah. So, what can I say?
Yeah. You're special.
I'm a mixed blood.
Yeah, right.
German and Scottish.
So you like Scotch and beer?
I don't like Scotch whiskey. No.
Okay.
But I like.
I'm not a hard liquor guy either.
No.
Although I have occasionally sipped that Southern Comfort.
Well,
but not to the
I'm
point where
gets me I'm
drunk.
More a bourbon guy.
Oh, you're Kentucky.
Well, it rubbed off.
Yeah.
Anyway, if Herod were the rightful heir to the throne of Judah, why did he order that the genealogical records of Judah be destroyed? If the records had authenticated his Judahite ancestry, he would seek to preserve them, wouldn't he? In the ancient world, strangers from other countries were not accepted into society as routinely as Americans accept them today. Xenophobia, especially if there were language barriers, was the rule. If Herod were a Judahite, he would have displayed these records very prominently.
Yeah, as all the other kings of Israel did.
Oh, yeah. His destruction of these records is proof that he was an alien to Judah. But as there had been kept in the archives up to that time, the genealogies of the Hebrews as well as of those who traced their lineage back to proselytes, such as Achior the Ammonite. Now here's an error, and Ruth the Moabitess. That is wrong.
They were not proselytes.
Ruth was an Israelite woman living in the occupied land of Moab, because the Israelites had taken it over and it populated with Israelites. So she was a racial Israelite, not a Moabite, because she married a prince of Yehudah, and they would not marry among the Moabites. It was prohibited. So that puts the lie to that. People don't study the language and they don't read. Yeah.
Well, for example, Queen Victoria was born in Germany. So does that make her a racial alien to the British people? Okay. They read too much into the word Moabitess and think it means a racial Moabitess when it simply is referring to the territory she lived in.
Somebody that was born, let's say, in Kentucky, and they moved to California, and they become a Californian. Does that make them a different race?
Must be to get darker. More sunshine, right?
Yeah.
Back to you, Steve.
Oh, boy. You get
two demerits.
You get two demerits.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to those who were mingled with the Israelites and came out of Egypt with them, Herod, note this statement very carefully, inasmuch as the lineage of the innate Israelites contributed nothing to his advantage, and since he was goaded with the consciousness of his own ignoble extraction, he was an Edomite.
So he knew what he was.
He was an Edomite Jew.
Yes.
Burned all the genealogical records, thinking that he might appear of noble origin if no one else were able. from the public registers to trace back his lineage to the patriarchs or proselytes and to those mingled with them who were called Geore.
Okay.
That is from Nicene and Post-Nicene Fathers, Series 2, Volume 1, Eusebius, Church History, Life of Constantine, Oration in Praise of Constantine.
So it's interesting what little tidbits you can find in the Nicene Fathers, the records, okay? You really have to dig deep to find a gem like this, right? Okay, but it proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that Herod was an Edomite, not a Judahite. And therefore, this is how the Jews do it. They insinuate themselves into positions of leadership over our people, true Israel. And if nobody challenges them or nobody deposes them, then they will continue to rule over us until we finally have a fist fight. And this is what South Africa is getting ready to experience, because it was the Jews who guided Mandela into power.
Okay. Well, if it starts going bad against the powers that be down there,
mm-hmm.
and the white farmers start to prevail, you will look for a mass Jewish exodus.
Yeah. Yes.
From that area.
Where are they going to go?
They will run.
Right? Where are they going to go, Pastor Steve? Madagascar?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't want to be in the middle of a conflict because they're not warriors.
That's right. They're finaglers, not warriors. So I think the main destination these days is not Romania, the country they just took over. Rats, the name of the country just slipped out of my brain. But, they're heading back into Eastern Europe, their roots. Okay, that's where they're going back, because they have a genetic connection to Khazaria, right? So they're heading back to Khazaria, okay? Yeah. All right, thesis number 51, Israeli or Israeli is a bastard state depending upon handouts from other nations to exist. If the Jews are a blessing, why do they require constant handouts from other nations to keep the economy of the Israeli state afloat? Without these welfare-style handouts, even in spite of the fact that they've been pressing the lifeblood out of the German people since World War II on the basis of that fake hoaxacost, they still need money. They still can't manage their own economy without outside help. What kind of independence is that?
That's because they don't work.
That's right. That's right. They have sex workers, though. The Jewish state would collapse in moments from an economic implosion without outside help. Absolutely. They take the goodwill and hard work of others and turn it into cynical, genocidal, despotic militarism. What kind of blessed nation is it that cannot even provide or maintain its own economy? Is this of God or is this extortion? Does God's law permit extortion? I don't think so.
If you see the photographs of Jerusalem and the area where they're having these settlements that are so disputed, they're building these houses on rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Great, big, huge cliff rocks. There's no soil there. There's nothing growing there. There are no plants there. It's bare rock and ugly houses. That's
yes. All
it is.
Right. Yeah, concrete,
and
just like in the Soviet Union. Concrete and glass.
It is ugly. Now, you get anywhere near the river, and that is shrinking because they have siphoned off so much water from the Jordan River, which eventually flows into the Dead Sea to keep water content. The Dead Sea has dropped about 20 feet, and there's nothing but salt deposits. There's not enough water going into it. The Dead Sea is drying up.
Yes.
Because they've taken the water. So there you go.
Yes.
And that is useless because that salt is salt of Sodom, which is toxic. It is highly
toxic.
It's got heavy metals and all kinds of stuff in it.
Right.
It's poison.
Yeah, and they even had
it's not sea salt. You can't use it on food. It'll kill you.
Right, right. And it has those glass beads. The sand around Sodom and Gomorrah has the glass beads that are created only two ways. One, by a atomic explosion, which creates enough heat to melt sand, and therefore it coagulates into beads like marbles. And by a meteoric explosion directly above. So that's probably how Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, by a meteoric explosion. The evidence is still there. Okay. I realized that we had covered this territory already. It was 58, not 48, where we left off last time. But it was worthwhile revisiting these items to just explain what the Jews are really like. Most people simply...
No, here we got preemptive attacks. We got the Hamas chief killed in airstrike. I don't think we've covered that.
No, we did. We did, because France Boaz is after that, and I know we covered Boaz.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right? So let me jump
to... Let's go to 59 then.
Right. No, let's go to 58. And then we'll pick it up from there.
The Rothschild coup, the 1913.
Yes. Let's go.
Okay. You want to do it, or you want me to do it?
Well, let me pick it up. After Andrew Jackson killed the private central bank, the Rothschilds continued to plot and scheme their way into the mainstream America's economic life. Rothschild agents such as Colonel Edward Mandel House, Max Warburg, Senator Nelson Aldrich, and J.P. Morgan were the instruments of that bribed, cajoled, lied, and arm-twisted until the Federal Reserve Act was finally passed in 1913. They did the same to get the Bank of England created, using a whore by the name of Barbara Villiers to compromise the British lords who eventually voted for the Bank of England. True to form, this bill was deceptively sold as the only means and method by which booms and busts of the economy could be brought under control. The promoters of the bill promised Congress that monetary stability would be the main benefit of this bill. Just a few years later, the Fed orchestrated a crash that put most of the country's small local banks out of business forever. These local banks were unfairly competing, quote-unquote, unfairly competing with the Fed, which wanted total control of our economy. Then in 1929, the Fed suddenly stopped lending money and even withdrew huge sums of money from circulation. This was the true cause of both the crash and the Great Depression. It was not caused by overproduction, as the leftists I have debated with assume. The only effect of overproduction is falling prices in those industries where there is overstock. In order to unload inventory and empty the warehouses of dead stock, manufacturers simply lower the price until the product moves again. But, Pastor Steve, I ask you, if there's no money in circulation, what happens to the economy? Right?
That's it.
It's really that simple, folks. It's really that simple. It was the Jews who engineered the crash and the Great Depression. Until World War II, all of a sudden, when World War II started, there was plenty of money.
Yeah. Amazing how that happened.
Yeah, amazing. All right, go to thesis number 59, please.
Okay, let me whip down to 59. The Israeli state is not a nation. That's correct. Can you imagine the uproar in the Congress and in the media if... suddenly, our government decided to give $6 billion annually to the Catholic Church, or to the Buddhists, or the Hindus, or Islam. then why do we give such funds to the Jews? At the same moment that America's Jewish liberals clamor for separation of church and state, here, they demand more money for a Jewish homeland in Israel. Do you not see the contradiction? Have you no gut reaction against such hypocrisy? What business does America have in supporting a Jewish state?
And they're religious Jews. They are religious Jews. Okay? Yeah. Because by Jewish law, which is a religion, they determine who or what is not a Jew. And you can't be a citizen of Israeli, unless you are a Jew. And that's a religious determination. Okay? So what are we doing? You know, supporting a country that does not have separation of church and state.
Well.
Yeah. Explain me that.
So let's just, what's up with that? Oh, the truth is that the theocratic state of Israeli has never been able to exist without extorting money from other nations. A true nation is self-sufficient. Israeli is not a nation. It is a sanctuary for international Jewish thieves living on rackets and demanding handouts when their own corruption and warmongering exhausts the goodwill and the treasury of the nation in which they operate. The oligarchs of Russia are perfect examples of this international racketeering, and President Bill Clinton's pardon of Mark Rich was another example.
Very good. Very good. Okay. I mean, what is their general
Such
question?
Such a deal we got for you. What is their... We give wholesale.
What is there about Judaism that has been beneficial to anybody but the Jews? Have the Jews done any good to the world, for the world, at all? Is there anything positive that comes out of Judaism that is beneficial to anybody else that isn't Jewish? Can you think of anything, Pastor Steve?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Not a single thing. It's all about them. And then when they get the money, they'll squabble among themselves how to disperse it.
Yes.
And as long as they and they engineer coups and assassinations among their own people.
Right.
And if one of them talks over here, like one of them would spill the beans.
Oh.
They wind up having an accident.
That's right. That's right. Thesis number 60, Judah is not Jewry. And this is for all the white nationalists out there. Pay attention. The Old Testament has been horribly distorted by Jewish deceivers and Judeo-Christian translators. The word Jew, J-E-W, has no business being in the Old Testament because there were no Jews yet in those days. I know this is probably news to most readers, but this is in fact the case. As explained earlier, thesis number 36, the first Jews were the first Edomites to accept circumcision under King John Hyrcanus of Judah. Okay? So.
And the word Judah itself is a misleading word that they have made.
Mm-hmm.
There's no J in the Hebrew, it's Yahuda.
Mm-hmm.
And has the meaning of Yah is praised.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and
Uda is to praise, and Yah is the epithet for Yahweh. It's a short form of Yahweh.
And in fact, that's a recent addition to the English language because the letter J, as pronounced with the J sound instead of the Y sound, was only integrated into the English language in the early 1700s. Okay? So that even in English, it was pronounced at least Yuda, if not Yahuda. Okay. So, that letter J. And because Judah and Jew sound so similar, people make the mistake of blending the two together and thinking they're the same people when they're not. Okay? Next paragraph. If you will look at the original Hebrew text of the Old Testament, you will find that every instance of the word Jew in the Old Testament is a false translation. It is always translated from the word Yehuda. This is Strong's number 3064. By translating Yehuda as Jew, the false impression is created that the words Jew and Judah are synonymous. These two words have never been synonymous. They are only synonymous by deception. For a Judahite is a pure-blooded descendant of the tribe of Judah, just as an Asherite can only be a direct genetic descendant of Asher, a Benjamite can only be a direct genetic descendant of Benjamin, and a Simeonite can only be a direct genetic descendant of Simeon, so and so on. Since Jews are a mixture of all races, which we proved above, they cannot be considered as a member of any of these tribes. I will remind you that Deuteronomy 23:2 forbids mongrels from entering the congregation of Yahweh.
Shall not come a Mamzer into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh.
Amen.
And Mamzer is number 4464, and it means a mixed breed or a mongrel.
Yes, yes. This is a very long item, so let's just move on. And I posted the link to the article you know, so people can peruse that, you know, in their own free time. So let's move down to, was that number 60? I moved down. Yes. Go ahead and take number 61, Pastor Steve.
Okay. War is the Jews' harvest. Oh, amen on that.
Mm-hmm.
As explained in the section on the House of Rothschild, thesis number 57, warmongering has always been part of the Jewish diet. War makes merchants rich, and Jews have always been the world's richest merchants. The word Canaanite means peddler, merchant, trafficker. That's Kanani. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Strong's number 3669. After Esau married into the Hittite tribe, that's the Hitti of the Kanani, the entire Canaanite nation became known as Edom or Edomites because he was called Red.
Mm-hmm.
That was his nickname. Esau was called Edom because he was reddish skin and had red hair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which ethnicity is known by all the world for their merchandising talents? Hint, not the descendants of Israel. No, we're known for farming and industry and,
yes, and shipbuilding. Building.
Build. We build up, they tear down.
That's right.
But the descendants of Edom and Canaan, the fact that the kept press never mentions the Jewish war merchants or their prophets is proof of the complicity of the kept press. War is a staple of the Jewish diet.
And you believe...
I have stated uh-huh. clearly that they have financed every war that we have been in here in the United States, including the war between the states.
That's right.
That was their war. And who profited, who looted the mm-hmm. treasuries?
Yes.
But these people.
That's right.
Own all the military-industrial complex. They make all the materiel. They supply the uniforms, the food, the weapons, the ammunition. They own the shipbuilding companies now. I mean, they just, you know, they don't build the ships. White people build the ships.
Right.
But they own the companies.
That's right.
Like they owned the slave trade. They
always worm their way to the top. Always.
That's right. And they don't do the work. They have it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although there were Jewish women working in the sweatshops in New York City for a while. you know, until they got rich and then they hired Goyim. So
yeah, right.
As they're worming their way in, they have to do a little bit of work. But it's horrible for them to have to endure that. But here's an interesting comment on this. The book by General Smedley Butler, War is a Racket, is one of the most suppressed books of all. Because in that book, General Butler admits that he's nothing but a prostitute for the international corporations and bankers. Okay, this is not something that is taught in the universities. That's why this book is so suppressed. But in this book, I got it from Christian Crusade Church for $10. Online, I saw some Jew offering it for $300. Okay? So, yeah, you know, the Jews are still willing to make a profit off of a truthful book, but they'll make it very difficult for you to purchase it. So he wants $300, where a CI publisher will offer it for $10, right? So if you ever go online to look for that book, don't buy it for $300. You know, find a better, you know, it's bound to be available somewhere else. Unfortunately, Christian Crusade Church, I don't think they exist anymore. And so they were really good in publishing books like that. Okay, back to you.
Okay, listen to this quote. This is by Rabbi Reichhorn speaking at the funeral of Grand Rabbi Simeon ben Judah in 1869. And I quote, "Thanks to the terrible power of our international banks, we have forced the Christians into wars without number. Wars have a special value for Jews since Christians massacre each other and make more room for us Jews. Wars are the Jews' harvest. The Jew banks grow fat on Christian wars. Over 100 million Christians have been swept off the face of the earth by wars, and the end is not yet." What do you say to that?
Yeah, he was bragging.
What's going on? All this violence and this fomentation for war.
Mm-hmm. Who's agitating for war?
What's going on in South Africa is fomented by the international Jew.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Can't be disputed anymore.
They'll sell arms. You watch. They'll sell arms to both sides.
Yes, they will.
Like they always do.
Yes. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, Synagogue of Satan, documents that profusely, that the Jews have been behind all wars since 1815.
Well, how often has that been banned?
Yeah, that's right.
you can't. Oh, well.
All right, please continue.
Of course, Jews dispute the genuineness of this quotation. Here are other quotations that cannot be disputed, nor should they be ignored. They are still commercially available as a matter of public record. In all Bolshevik institutions, the heads are Jewish. We look on Bolshevism as a Jewish affair. There is a great national fervor among Jews in behalf of communism. We believe that the promised time of victory for God's elect is now. That's Asian Magazine, March 1920. Another quote, "Some call it communism. I say it's Judaism," Rabbi Stephen Wise.
Head rabbi of the United States.
Another quote, "There is much in the fact of Bolshevism, in the fact that the ideals of Bolshevism are consonant," that means in agreement, "with the finest ideals of Judaism."
Finest ideals.
And that's the London Jewish Chronicle, April 4th, 1919. Another quote, what we Jews did in Russia through Jewish brains and money power, we will accomplish in the United States. American Hebrews, summer of 1919. Wake up, America.
Ouch.
Another quote, we Jews are at the bottom of nearly all your wars and revolutions, not only of the Russian Revolution, but every major revolution in history. We did it solely with the irresistible might of our Jewish spirit, with ideas and propaganda. That's Jewish author Marcus Eli Ravitch in January 1928 issue of Century magazine. Another quote. The World Zionist Movement is big business. In the first two decades after Israel's precarious birth in 1948, it channeled an estimated $4 billion, with a B, dollars in donations into the country.
And that's in addition to the money extorted from Germany, America, France, Britain, etc.
Following the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, the Zionists raised another $730 million in just 2 years. This year, 1970, the movement is seeking $500 million. Gottlieb Hamar, chief Zionist money raiser, said, when the blood flows, the money flows. And that's Lawrence Mosher, National Observer, May 18th, 1970.
So the Jews admit it, if you dig up the quotations where they admit it, right? Because they just can't help but brag. They can't help but brag. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Right. I'm looking at Dying for Nothing. Charlie Reese.
Yeah, he was a great columnist. June
7th, 2007. And I quote from his article, I didn't watch any of the Memorial Day events on television. Memorial Day, it seems to me, should be only for the families of the dead. It's really impossible to remember someone we never knew. Of course, these days, Memorial Day gets larded with politics and pseudo-patriotism. It's nauseating to watch a bunch of actors, entertainers, and politicians who never heard a gun fired in anger put on a maudlin performance as if they really gave a rat's toenail for the dead. The fact is, war is started by old men who never go near the war, and wars are always fought by the young. The King of Belgium once noted that it takes 20 years of peace to produce a man and 20 seconds of war to destroy him. Think about that. All that a young human being is, intelligence, health, youth, education, knowledge, potential accomplishments, reduced to a bloody pile of broken bones and guts in an instant. They are strangers killing and being killed by strangers. War is mass murder, and no doubt part of the degradation of the human species is the fact that starting with the war between the states, the human toll of war has increased exponentially. It's ironic that wars take the healthiest and bravest, while the unhealthy and the cowardly manage to evade them.
Could that be why we have so many liberals?
Yep. But that'll change.
Yeah.
Look at all the draft dodgers of the Vietnam era who suddenly became war hawks as soon as they were too old to go.
Very good, Charlie. Yep. Wait. What happened to all of those war protesters? Those Jewish war protesters in the 60s and 70s?
They did that.
Where are they?
Most of them did that in order to get laid.
Right.
But let's be honest.
Okay.
It was one big orgy after a great big protest, especially if they got beat up a little bit. All that was sexy as hell.
I missed that part.
Yeah, I know you were over in Nam.
Yeah, that's right.
I've said it before. If I had children of war age, I would do everything in my power to dissuade them from joining the military.
That's right.
The present war is a bad war. Well, which one is this? This was written in 2007.
Okay.
Okay. That's it's got to be one of the Middle East things.
Yeah. Or was it the conflict in Southeastern Europe, maybe?
Whatever.
Yeah.
It is not being fought to protect freedom, let alone the American people. Poor Cindy Sheehan, who bravely protested the war, finally gave up. She felt betrayed by the Democrats, by the anti-war movement, but the saddest thing of all, she says, was that she finally faced the fact her son died for nothing.
Amen. Amen.
As
she was a Democrat.
Sad as it is to say, it's true. The politicians and some of the media chicken hawks like to fork the fertilizer talking about sacrifices for freedom, sacrifices most of them studiously avoid ever making, but it's just fertilizer. Why did we go to war in Iraq? Because the president hated Saddam Hussein. Because the Israeli lobby wanted us to. Because
this is what got him fired.
Because the crazy neoconservatives had the insane idea that the Middle East could be democratized at the point of a gun. Because oil companies and other corporations lusted for profit. Missing is any threat to the safety and freedom of the United States. A threat no Iraqi ever made or ever had the capability of carrying out. So if you don't want to say the kids are dying for nothing, you can say they are dying for Halliburton, for Exxon Mobil, for the president's ego, for a cockamamie theory of a bunch of academics, for Israel, for money, or for oil. What you cannot truthfully say is they are dying for freedom.
Amen. Wow. Well said. Well said. Charlie
Reese. Continuing on. The global war on terror is just a bad metaphor that doesn't have any connection to reality. How long are the American people going to allow liars to lull them into sacrifice the most precious treasure the country has? Its youth in a futile, lie-ridden, corruption-packed war. In my dreams, I see the American people rising like a roaring lion and ripping the guilty politicians out of their offices. But that is only a dream. The kind of people with the courage to do that lie moldering in millions of graves around the world. End quote.
Wow. What a powerful editorial.
We got less than 3 minutes here.
Yeah. And it's very fitting to end on this note. Charlie Reese, Yahweh bless you. And I'm sure you're in heaven waiting for us, waiting to come back to join us when the shinola hits the fan. Right? Well done, Charlie Reese. I think I'm going to give this speech to read to Art Jones while he's in the campaign. Because the fact is, Pastor Steve, the libtards want war.
They, always.
Yes. Yeah. They used to be opposed to war. In the 60s, they were opposed to war. But that's because they were posturing. They were posturing as anti-war peaceniks, right? All these Jews, they were just posturing because they wanted to use the war to destroy American culture. Right. Remember the gap between the young and old, the age gap and the income gap. The Jews simply exploited those differences to destroy American culture. And then they instituted, free love, easy money, drugs, right? All that was introduced during the Vietnam War, which they would have had a hard time introducing as rapidly otherwise.
Okay. Hand, shoulders, and Nixon coming. Yeah, we're right. Finally on our own. Let's go get high and we'll mess around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and vote Democratic the rest of our lives.
Yep.
That's the reality, folks.
We're down to a minute and a half. Yeah. You're going to have to...
Yeah. That's the reality, folks. So, and of course, what we just said is unpopular with YouTube. So this show may get a strike. We'll see. But we will persist. We will continue telling Yahweh's truth, and nothing's going
to
stop.
We'll just have to phrase the phrase the title very carefully.
Yahweh bless
and keep you, brothers and sisters out there, and never give up. If Yahweh is with us, who can be against us?
Amen. All right, folks, stay tuned for Andy and Paul. We'll see you. I'll see you later on today with Pastor Martins on Voice of Christian Israel. And Pastor Steve and I will see you next Sunday again on Bloodlines. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Bye-bye.